Hi, this is Paul Ingram. It is Wednesday, July 12th, and this is your audio version of today's post, which is titled "New Positive, scare quotes, Positive Studies Rarely Change the Bottom Line." Occasionally, someone smugly throws a promising new study in my face just to dismiss my historical skepticism on a topic. "You got it wrong," they say. "Just look at this shiny new evidence." But those positive results rarely change the bottom line. Here's how this dance usually goes. It begins with reluctant skepticism. Someone kinda sorta accepts my cynical reporting on an underwhelming treatment. "Welp," they say, "Ingram says it doesn't work, or not very well anyway. Thanks for that, I think." And then phase two is glorious confirmation bias, when much later that cynical conclusion seems to be overturned by a shiny new scientific paper. After quote-unquote reading it, abstract or press release, they say, "Well, sure seems positive," and so they think, "Good news, chlorine gas snorting therapy works after all. I guess that Ingram guy was wrong." The next phase is smug revenge. That's when they write to tell me how wrong I was, or they post it on social media. And sometimes, even fairly often historically, the tone is caustic. "New evidence proves skeptic was just a cranky dum-dum." And then the final phase, skepticism, is rejected. Of course, I am often already aware of the paper, but I go recheck it anyway and confirm the inevitable. It's a shite study that just muddies the water, and then I have to explain why it wasn't promising after all, which has no apparent effect, because who's going to accept my curmudgeonly take when there's a perfectly good actual citation backing a happier version of the story? So that's how it goes. First, reluctant skepticism, then the glorious confirmation bias, then the smug revenge, and finally, skepticism is rejected. So you're going to want a for instance. Here's a for instance: massage for DOMS. I have seen the story above play out ad nauseum about massage for delayed onset muscle soreness, also known as post-exercise muscle soreness. A new study. I got a lot of scare quotes in this piece. Scare quotes around the new there because it was 2017, not really new anymore, but it was new for a while there. This one is from Guo et al. It certainly does seem positive, and so people cite it and declare that I must have gotten it wrong on massage for soreness. After that close call with negativity, they go back to believing that the soreness can be rubbed out. Except I didn't get it wrong. Don't get me wrong, I can get things wrong, and I do get things wrong. In fact, I have had a banner year for that so far. I've had a number of mea culpa posts so far this year, and I'm sure I'll have many more in the future. But I do not think I am wrong about this. I had that paper in my bibliography all along with a private note to self. Weak sauce positive meta-analysis on massage for DOMS. Worthless changes nothing. I do that a lot with citations. When I add things to my citation manager, I often write a quick little summary for my own self, a little note to self, which is often harsher, snarkier, or sloppier than I would ever want to actually publish. I do that because I need to know something, I need to tell my future self something about the study and why I've added it to the database. But if I were to take the time to summarize it in a publicly consumable way every single time, it's all I would ever do. There would never be time for anything else. So I tend to write quick notes to self about these things, and this one was very negative. I hadn't gotten around to referencing and dismissing Guo at all because it's just kind of terrible. And funny enough, I'm not eager to write about really bad studies that don't actually move the needle. Unfortunately, just because a scientific review or meta-analysis seems superficially positive really doesn't mean much. And that's the point of this post. There are many gotchas. They're so complex that they are ripe for abuse. The reviews and the meta-analysis, I mean, just as prone to bias power error and misrepresentation as clinical trials, if not more so. Meta-analysis is the major practical example of how data can be tortured until it tells you what you want to hear. And it's particularly prone to this when studies are underpowered, which is a huge problem with pain and rehab science. If you've got robust data, if it's good, you know, powerful, statistically powerful data, it's harder to abuse. The louder signals are harder to lose in the noise. Weaker signals are way easier to lose in the noise. You can have a weaker signal and more noise in crappy data. And as I have learned, to my chagrin, this field that I've dedicated my life to is absolutely rotten with low-quality, underpowered research. And so, again and again and again, we see meta-analyses and reviews with seemingly positive conclusions, but it's just garbage in, garbage out. There's just not enough actual data for the conclusion. So very, very common problem, and I get a lot of these meta-analyses thrown in my face, and that is why they don't actually change the bottom line, because they're just almost always kind of crappy. Thanks for listening, and talk to you next time.